So today we're observing the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of First Fruits, as it's sometimes referred to. This is a third festival in God's awesome plan of his salvation for mankind. This day pictures the smaller spring harvest, which represents the small group that has been called and given an understanding of God's plan. But we've been given that understanding today. It's a special group. The first fruits are those who have been prepared for the great purpose of reigning with Jesus Christ, the first of God's great harvest, of all those, all mankind, that will one day be brought to salvation. Teens, young adults, old adults, if in school or in college or at work, if you're part of a select group and you're called to work on a special project, it's normal that something would be expected of that group, of that called group. We're called to be part of a special project, part of this small group called the First Fruits. So is there something that God expects of each one of us? Today, what I'd like to do is look at a very familiar passage in the Scriptures and develop some concepts that may help us gain a fuller understanding of what is expected of the First Fruits in God's plan. So if you would turn with me to Matthew 25, and those that are probably way ahead of me, the parable of the talents. If you would, we'll start in verse 14. Now, as I said, we're very familiar with this, but I'd like to look at four lessons that we can learn from the parable of the talents as it relates to, I think, the day of Pentecost. So Matthew 25, verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on the journey." He took leave. He left them to with their talents that he provided them, the resources that he provided. In verse 16, "Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Verse 17, "And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them." Verse 20, "And so he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents. He doubled his money, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" Verse 22, "He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them.' He too doubled the resources, the talents that had been given to him. And his Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" But in verse 24, it said, "Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.'" All he gave him back, what he had given to him long time before that. "But the Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you did nothing with it.' He said, 'You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to at least have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest.'" He said, "You could have at least done more than just dug a hole and put it in the ground." He said, "You could have given it and I could have earned interest. Maybe not doubled my money, but I could have earned some interest." So the parable of the talent relates the story of those entrusted with the master's goods and the responsibility to make good use of the resources that were given to the servants to produce a profit or to provide a return on master's investment. This is an analogy of those who are called now, the first fruits, those of us that are sitting here today. we are given God's blessings, particularly His Word and His Spirit, which we are to use to grow in our lives, in our Christian lives. So I'd like to look, in the short time left, four lessons that we can learn from the parable of the talents. The first point I'd like to make is that success requires effort. Being a profitable servant requires effort. You know, in verse 16 it said that the servant that received five talents traded with them. He didn't just put it in the bank, he didn't just dig a hole, he didn't put it, take it home and put it in the safe. He worked on it, he traded. He put effort, energy. He strove to do the best that he could for his master. He was industrious and put forth that effort. But notice that in verse 19, it was after a long time that the master came and settled accounts with them. So this wasn't over just a short period of time. He labored, he put effort into it for a considerable amount of time. But the servant that buried his talent made one effort. All he did was go home, dig a hole, buried it, left it, walked away from it. So first point is that success requires effort. The second point I'd like to make is that God provides us with all of the resources needed to complete the task that He has called each one of us to do. God provided each servant with the required resources. In verse 15, notice that He also said that He provided the resources according to each one's ability. So they might have had more ability, but the one that had five talents and the one that had two talents, they both doubled what the master had given to them. And they both were called good and profitable servants. You know, if you think about the resources that the master gave them, this week I think the spot market in gold was about $1,343, $1,343. The average, you know, the weight of a talent is, there's all kinds of different weights, but the average is probably 75 pounds. Do the math real quickly, it's like 1.6 million. It's a lot of money entrusted to them. And say, well, but that's gold. What if it was only silver? Still be $18,000 a talent, a little bit over that. So the gentleman that got five talents, about $100,000, still not chump change, something that he entrusted a lot to them. And so we see that he gave them the resources they needed to go out and to be successful. If we look at Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll see that we too have been given gifts and talents. In Ephesians 4, verse 7. And it says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. And then we drop down to verse 11, and it says here that and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. So everybody has a different role to play, a gift that each of them have. But we all have one of those roles. You know, we may not be apostles, we may not be preachers, but evangelists, but we are all teachers. We all have our children to teach, those at church, we can teach one another, so we all have been given gifts to do that. You know, in John chapter 14, Christ is speaking to the disciples just before his trial and crucifixion. If you would turn with me to John chapter 14, look at verses 15 through 18. John 14, verse 15. And it says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither receives him nor knows him, but you know him. So here's a resource that we have. Drop down to verse 26. We'll see here that it was a promise that we had. It says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So the resource that we have is God's Holy Spirit. This is the power of God, the same Holy Spirit that we see given to his people in the Feast of Pentecost in Acts, the second chapter. God provides to each one of us the resources that we need to succeed. The third lesson is that the parables of the talent teaches us that we work for the master. We do not produce a return or grow our investment to make ourselves look good or to enrich ourselves, but rather we put forth the effort and grow the investment entrusted to each one of us on behalf of the Master. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. We'll look at verses 9 and 10. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, here's talking about honoring the Lord. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase. So here's how we honor the Lord. With our wealth is how we honor. With our growth, with what we produce, it's not for us to enrich us, to make us look good, but it's to honor our Master. You know, God is measuring the quality of our stewardship. And I like that word stewardship because it means we don't own it. It means that we are taking care of the talents that someone else has given to us. That we are contributing to the investment, the resources that God has made available to each one of us. So again, it's the quality of that stewardship. You know, it reminds me of, I don't know how many of you listen to Rush Limbaugh now and then, but you know, he uses the term talent on loan from God. And although he's probably a little egotistical about it, that probably is a good way to look at it. Each one of us, we have talent that God has given to us, has put loaned us, but we don't own it. We're stewards of the talent and what God has given to us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. In 1 Corinthians, you know, God tells us that he uses the foolish to confound the wise. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, and it says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And then in verse 31, if we drop down there, we see here it says that it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. We don't glory in ourselves. We don't use what God has given to us to glorify ourselves, but to glorify God. We maximize our talents in order to honor God, not for a selfish purpose. The fourth point is that the parable of the talent demonstrates that we will, in fact, be held accountable for the gifts that we have been given. You know, if we turn back to Matthew chapter 24, and let's look at verses 29 and 30. I'm sorry, Matthew 25. Sorry about that. Matthew chapter 25, we want to go back to the parable of talent. And we look at verse 29. We'll pick it up there, and it says, for to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, basically he who didn't develop what he was given, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God holds us accountable to use the resources given to us to produce character, good works, all of the actions that will honor and glorify God. The unfaithful servant not only wasted his master's resources, he wasted an opportunity as well that was given to him. Don't let us be said of us that we have wasted an opportunity. We've been called to be first fruits in the plan of God. We're part of the early harvest, a special set apart group of people, once called by God to assist in the restoration of God's government on this earth and teaching God's way to all mankind. God has given each one of us something special to preserve, to promote, and to produce a return. And he expects, and let's not take this opportunity for granted or treat it lightly, as we will be held accountable for what we have been given. Each one of us has been provided great resources and blessed with tremendous talents. And God expects us to use these talents today, tomorrow, and for all eternity in the fulfillment of his plan for all mankind. So let's not forget the lessons of the parable of the talents as we observe this day of Pentecost.